Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning and welcome to you and our radio audience. We're thankful for you tuning in and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program, for it's our purpose to speak only things found in God's holy and inspired Word. That's why if at any time you have a question or a comment concerning something that we say on the program, we want to hear from you. Or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject and you're studying and would like to us to spend time and study it on the program. Again, let us hear from you. We'd be willing to consider any Bible subject, any Bible question that you might have on your mind. You can contact me at the address given by the announcer or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. Power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. I think that was a statement by a man by the name of Dalberg Acton. You know, we're not surprised when powerful people impose unjust demands, but it may surprise us that there may be seemingly some scriptures that seem to demand something dreadful or unjust. Those kind of demands are only apparently dreadful. Let us be sure we understand that. When Jesus ordered his disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ, we read that in Matthew 16:20, you know, it might be easy for us to conclude that he's withholding salvation from the lost. But actually, this was at the very early beginning of Jesus' ministry. And it was at the very early beginning of the training of the disciples. So the disciples would be unprepared to share this message. And for them to make an announcement too soon could cause the Jews to murder Jesus before his time had come, before his hour had come. You know, when the Jewish council, though, forbidden the apostles to speak in Jesus' name there in Acts 4, verse 18. Now their demand actually is dreadful. They certainly wanted to prevent salvation from being taught. But let's consider some other things that we might, on the surface, consider God being making a dreadful command. Let's begin with Abraham. He said, "Take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you." We read that in Genesis 22 and verse 2. This shocking command appears to violate God's character. It appears to violate God's promises. How can God, who opposes human sacrifice, demand this of Abraham? How can the God who promises to Abraham that he's going to bless the world through this son now demand he's being put to death? Another instance is when Balak, messengers, asked Balaam to curse Israel, and God told Balaam to refuse their request. And when they returned, in Numbers 22 and verse 20, it says, "If the men come to call you, rise and go with them, but only the word which I speak to you, that you shall do." So God sent Balaam on his way, but then he threatened him with physical and spiritual destruction before he arrived. Another, what we might think to be a strange demand, is concerning the statement that God makes to Isaiah about the children of Israel. He says, "Go and tell this people. Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull, and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return and be healed. That we read in Isaiah 6, verses 9 and 10. Another similar instance is Jesus commanded the Pharisees in Matthew 23 and verse 32, "Fill up then the measure of your father's guilt." See, what Jesus is doing, he's commanding them to finish the work that their ancestors had started. And what he's talking about in this 23rd chapter is that they had murdered, their ancestors had murdered the prophets, and so they must now murder the Messiah. And then another occasion, Jesus warned his disciples that one of them would betray him. And then he ordered Judas in John 13, verse 26, "What you do, do quickly." Well, is Jesus encouraging Judas to finalize his betrayal and then punishing him for obeying him? You see, each of these are commands that we have read, whether Abraham, whether Balaam, whether what he says to Israel through Isaiah, all of these are commands, and we can easily draw the wrong conclusion. Let's remember, God is just. Everything God does is right. It's in Genesis 18 and verse 25, "Shall the judge of all the earth do right?" And yes, he has, and he will, and he will continue to do so. First of all, let's understand, God does not tempt anyone to sin, but does justly test the heart. See, Abraham's test revealed his supreme love for God. And though he could not understand, certainly, the reason for this demand that God is making, he obeyed. And the Lord, we know, stopped him before he killed Isaiah, and God rewarded Abraham's faith. In the case of Balaam, Balaam professed allegiance to God, but in truth, he really loved money. Jude makes that statement about Balaam in Jude. There's no chapters in the book of Jude, but verse 11. "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and have ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and punished in the gainsayings of Korah." So truly, Balaam wanted to go to Balak, and God mercifully warned him, even through a talking donkey, if you remember that story. But still, God did not overrule Balaam's free will. In what God spoke to Isaiah concerning the charge that he gave him in the matter of the children of Israel in Isaiah 6, what we see here is irony, that is, saying one thing and meaning another. In fact, when we make a comparison, there's an instance in Judges chapter 10 and verse 14 where he says, "Go and cry out to the gods which you have chosen. Let them deliver you in your time of distress." So see, God is just simply warning Isaiah not to expect positive results from his preaching to the children of Israel. And then in the matter of the Pharisees, they wanted to finish what their fathers had started. You remember right up to the time of Jesus standing before Pilate, and Pilate trying to punish Jesus and release him because Pilate knew that he was guilty of nothing worthy of death. Yet you remember the response of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the elders, and the rest of the people that were there? "Crucify him. Let his blood be upon us and upon our children." So yes, they wanted to finish their father's work, and so Jesus is not forcing them, though, to do anything. And in the matter of Jesus teaching his disciples, he taught his disciples to shun even the beginning of sin. Remember Matthew 5, "Whoso looketh upon a woman to lust after her in his heart has committed adultery already with her." So here is Jesus, and Jude would have heard that. And even in Luke's account, in Luke chapter 12, Jesus, on that occasion, when a man approached him about wanting his brother to divide the inheritance, Jesus taught a very important lesson in verse 15. He said, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses." Judas was there and heard that. But see, these lessons, they were lost on Judas. He was acting under the influence of Satan. Notice in John 13 and verse 2. "And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him." Friends, Satan is all the time putting things into our heart. That's called temptation. But it's not sin just when we are tempted. It's sin when we act. And that's us. That's our choice. Either to reject the temptation, deny the temptation, or to fulfill the temptation. Judas had the temptation presented before him. It was his choice, and what he chose, because, as Jude said, he had that greed, that covetousness about him, he accepted the offer and, of course, we know, betrayed our Savior. And when you give up on these sinners, giving up could shock them into repentance. We're not talking here about Abraham, but God's dreadful, as we would think of them, demands are actually warnings. He's saying, go ahead, nobody's stopping you. Sometimes just a startling allowance can sometimes bring a sinner to his senses. See, the prodigal son in Luke 15, he had to learn that for himself. He had to learn that the grass is not always greener on the other side. His father could have told him that till he turned blue in the face. But this was a man, a boy, that had to learn it for himself. And when he did, the lesson was well taken. So, letting go is another thing to think about. Letting go may be the only way to get him back. In the days of Hosea described Ephraim as hopeless in Hosea chapter 4, verse 17. He described Ephraim as hardened in chapter 11 and verse 2. And then in verse 8 of that same chapter, he described Ephraim as helpless. See, though God is heartsick over giving Ephraim up, he knows that only the act of cutting them off and causing them to go into exile is the only sometimes way that can restore some to spiritual health. So we need to learn from these what we might consider dreadful demands. These are roadblocks to help prevent us from going to hell. And what we learn is that these things, don't blame God for your sins. Blame yourself. Confess your sins. And discipline your heart. It's called self-control. Expect judgment, because that's what all of us need to live in view and consciousness of. You know, Abraham's faith overcome the most difficult test of his life. How much more should we joyfully submit to the Lord, whose yoke is easy, his burden is light, and his commandments are not burdensome? Friends, we love him because he first loved us. 1 John 4, verse 19. Power may corrupt men, but God's absolute power is only good. Always. Our time is up. Thank you for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. Till then, we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we turn you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.